Listening Library presents Who Were the Tuskegee Airmen? By Sherry L. Smith. Read for you by Larry Herron. Who Were the Tuskegee Airmen? January 20th, 1945. The plane was not going to make it back to the airfield in Italy. U.S. Airman Larry Fleischer shivered inside the B-24 bomber as it limped through the skies. World War II had been raging for more than 5 years. In late 1941, the United States had joined with England, Canada, and other countries to defeat Nazi Germany and its allies. B-24s played a major role in winning the war. Fleischer's plane, however, had been hit while dropping bombs on a Nazi airbase in Austria. Two of the engines were out. The bombing doors in the belly of the plane had jammed open. The wind was roaring in at 60 degrees below zero. Fleischer had already lost the boot trying to unstick the doors. Now he was afraid he might lose his foot to frostbite. The plane needed to land soon. But where? Down below, the Italian coast was fast approaching. Fleischer and the rest of the crew scouted for a safe landing area. It was the co-pilot who found their best hope. He spotted an airfield, but it was one that didn't show up on any of their charts. We really were expecting it to be a German field, because why wouldn't it be on one of our maps? Fleischer recalled. If that were true, the pilot and crew would be taken as prisoners. But there was no other choice. The pilot carefully brought the plane in for landing and saw that this was no German base. The runway was lined with American planes. Splashes of crimson paint marked these P-51 Mustangs as Red Tails. These fighter planes were famous for protecting American bombers in enemy skies. The Red Tails had saved Fleischer and his crew on more than one bombing mission. As another crewman put it, they were our lifesavers. Fleischer and his crew were so relieved. They went out to greet the approaching soldiers, eager to finally meet the Red Tails face to face instead of in the air. What they saw was the surprise of their lives. "These are all black guys," Fleischer remembered thinking. It was a complete shock. Why was it so surprising to see black pilots in 1945? Fleischer was a white guy from New York. His entire crew of 10 men was white. The only black people Fleischer had ever seen in the army were cooks and waiters. Until now. The Red Tails weren't just any combat pilots. They were the famous Tuskegee Airmen. They were the first airplane pilots of color ever in the U.S. military. Military means the armed forces of a nation. But to Fleischer and his all-white crew, their existence was more secret than the atom bomb. Chapter 1. Two Americas. By the end of 1939, World War II had broken out in Europe. The United States was not involved in the fighting yet, but the military wanted to be prepared, just in case. So the Army had started the Civilian Pilot Training Program, CPTP, at many colleges and universities. Civilians are people who are not in the armed forces. The CPTP was created to teach young Americans how to fly planes. If the country joined the war overseas, there would be more pilots ready for battle. But not everyone could join the CPTP. It was for white people only. A 1925 military report said that black men were not as smart or as brave as white men. The belief was that black people couldn't learn how to fly airplanes. But that was completely wrong. Black people had been flying since 1917. An African-American pilot named Eugene Bullard joined the French Air Force and fought against Germany in World War I. He won several medals for his bravery. In 1920, a Southern woman named Bessie Coleman went to France to learn how to fly. She became the first African-American female pilot in 1921. Coleman returned to the United States, where she gave lectures and flew in air shows across the country. She wanted to raise enough money to start a flying school for African Americans. Unfortunately, in 1926, she was killed in a tragic airplane accident before that dream was achieved. 3 years later, the Bessie Coleman Aero Club was founded in Los Angeles in her honor. Jim Crow Laws. In the first half of the 20th century, black people were segregated, kept apart, from white people in all sorts of ways. Especially in the southern states, black people could not live in the same neighborhoods as white people, eat in the same restaurants, or go to the same schools. There were signs in shop windows that said, "For whites only," and even separate water fountains. The rules were known as Jim Crow laws. These laws carried over to the military. Black soldiers lived in separate barracks from white soldiers and ate in separate mess halls. White officers could command black soldiers, but black officers were not allowed to command white soldiers. Black people were treated as second-class citizens and soldiers. The name Jim Crow came from a silly, clumsy character in music shows of the early to mid-1800s. Jim Crow was supposed to be a black man, but was always played by a white actor in black makeup. The character was meant to poke fun at and insult black people. In 1964, Jim Crow laws ended when the Civil Rights Act was passed by Congress. In May 1939, two black men named Chauncey Spencer and Dale White flew an old airplane from Chicago to Washington, D.C. They wanted to encourage other black people to become pilots. In Washington, they met with a senator named Harry S. Truman. Truman would become president of the United States in 1945. Truman saw the rickety old airplane the men had flown. He said, "If you guys had the guts to fly that thing from Chicago, I've got the guts enough to do all I can to help you." Harry S. Truman was true to his word. Later that year, Congress approved 6 civilian pilot training programs for black people. The most famous of these programs was at Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. Coffee School of Aviation. The Coffee School of Aviation opened in 1938 in Chicago, Illinois, to teach black people how to fly. Some of its graduates later became Tuskegee Airmen. Cornelius Coffee took his first flight when he was about 13. A barnstorming pilot came to town. Barnstormers were stunt pilots. The white pilot asked Coffee to board the plane so he could have some fun at the black child's expense. On the ride, the pilot threw the plane into spins, rolls, and a nosedive. He did his best to scare Coffee. But Coffee loved every minute of it. The pilot was impressed. "He told me I should think about flying," Coffee told a reporter. However, he had trouble finding a flight school that would teach black people. So he and his friend, John Robinson, built their own airplane using a motorcycle engine and taught themselves. Willa Brown knew Coffee and Robinson. She, too, was bitten by the flying bug. 4 years later, she and Coffee opened a pilot training school where he always put one white and one girl in every class of 10 students. "I wanted to prove to our government that whites and blacks, boys and girls, could be trained together." Chapter 2. Taking Flight. Tuskegee Institute was a famous black college founded by Booker T. Washington in 1881 in the town of Tuskegee, Alabama. Unfortunately, the nearest airport was 40 miles away. There was a lot of work to do before a CPTP program could be up and running. The school rented a field to build its own airport. The first class had 20 students, 18 men and 2 women. The students had to mow the field and create a runway. They built a hangar. A hangar is a building where airplanes are kept. It had room for 3 small airplanes called Piper Cubs. The students also built their own classroom. Tuskegee Institute. Tuskegee Institute began in 1881 after a white politician, Senator W.F. Foster, asked a former slave how he could get African Americans
Sample complete. Ready to continue?